Hello, everybody, and Adventures in Midgeland is back. Tonight, I did a little research. I mean, I've actually read the book about this person a few years ago, so I wanted to share the story because this person is actually from Sacramento. It's actually quite weird that we do have a lot of people. Serial killers, psychos, you know, just crazies that actually are from Sacramento. But yet, you know, it's not really talked about too much. It's either you don't really ever hear about, you know, this crime, or they just don't connect it to here. But I'm going to talk about Teresa Knorr. If anybody has ever heard of that name, she actually was someone that lived here back in like the early 70s, late 80s, killed two of her own kids. So let's dive into this. Teresa Knorr was actually born in 1946 and was eventually convicted of torturing and murdering two of her own children and using the other siblings to cover up the crimes. She was actually born Teresa Jimmy Cross in Sacramento, California. She was the youngest in her family. Her mother had died in 1961, and Teresa had actually went into a stage of depression. But at 16, Teresa ended up marrying someone by the name of Cliff Sanders, and that was in 1964. Their marriage ended when Teresa actually shot Sanders to death in 1964, so not a long marriage, but that was when they were living in Galt, California. She was tried, but she was eventually acquitted by claiming self-defense because she was actually pregnant during this time. So during this time, she actually delivered her second child, Sheila, which was in 1965. In 1966, she was 7 months pregnant with her third child, and she married that man's dad, and as a result, Robert Knorr, who bore his dad's last name, was born in 1968. And then the second to the last youngest, Robert, born in 1970, and her last daughter the next year, Terry, which she named after herself, was born in 1970. So none of the Knorr kids were actually spared from her physical, verbal, or psychological abuse. However, though, Teresa tended to focus her attention on her daughters, Sylvia and Susan, because she was jealous, pretty much, because these girls at the time were growing up, turning into women, and as a lot of women do when they see, I mean, I'm not a mother, so I can't really say, but I do know that women tend to, you know, look at the younger women and see their own mortality pretty much. And they're faced with the fact of they're growing older. They're not, you know, the young one they used to be. Their looks are fading, you know, so on and so on. So she tend to focus her anger and attention on, you know, her daughters. Eventually, she had kicked Susan out after years of abuse, and one night, Susan came home and she shot her in the chest. The bullet had lodged into her back, but Teresa, you know, refused medical aid because she was a caregiver, eventually handcuffed, Susan to, the soap dish in their bathroom. And began to nurse her to health. So you're thinking, yeah, you know, she's finally doing something right. As hard as that sounds. But after removing the bullet, basically Susan begged her mother, telling her, you know, she would never, you know, tell anybody. She just wanted basically her freedom. And, you know, basically she agreed to let her out of the house. But that was because, you know, she was taking the bullet out. This procedure, I guess you can call it, was actually performed under the kitchen table by giving Susan basically a bottle of Jack Daniels to drink down and pass out. And Teresa removes the bullet with a box cutter. Eventually, you know, after it was removed and she saw that Susan was getting sicker and sicker, you know, her skin had turned yellow from the jaundice. She became delirious. She was laying on the floor, and the other children that lived in the house would basically just walk over her because they were so terrified of what the mom, Teresa, would do. She eventually convinced the other children in the house that Susan was possessed by Satan, and the only way to get rid of that demon was to set her on fire. And she convinced the oldest boys, Robert and Bill, into basically helping her dispose of Susan. They drove her to the Sierra Nevada on Interstate 80 outside of Truckee, laid her down, poured gasoline, and unfortunately burnt her alive. I can't imagine going through something like that and then being told by your mother and, you know, being a willing participant. So that had happened. It was basically an unsolved crime. Police just didn't have enough evidence. They didn't know who it was. So fast forward ahead to 1985, when the other daughter, Sheila, had died because of her mother. Terry, which everybody called her, not Teresa, they called her Terry, forced, you know, her youngest daughter into becoming a prostitute, and then started accusing her of transmitting an STD to her, which she says that she got from a toilet seat. Nor the mother's abuse eventually just escalated to a point where she ended up locking Sheila in a closet for days, and unfortunately, she had died of dehydration and starvation, basically several days later. Her body was packed up into a cardboard box, which her brother had gotten when he worked in the movie theater that is actually off of Arden. Well, was off of Arden. I mean, it's still there, but the old one had got a card box, and they basically just dumped her body on the side of the road. Eventually, Terry, which was the youngest daughter, she had tried to get out, and her mother had said, you know, the only way that you are going to get out of here is you need to burn this apartment down and destroy any evidence, anything that could connect her mother to the daughter's death. And of course, you know, this child, you know, Terry was 13 at the time, terrified, but, you know, when you're in that sort of, abuse, you will pretty much do anything. So they had eventually were living in Citrus Heights, actually, when all this happened, and they had burned the apartment to get rid of any evidence. The only reason why Teresa, the mother, was caught was because Terry had lived with this guilt for so many years. There is actually a very good book called What Mother Says, or Do What Mother Says. It's something like that. It's along those lines, but you can look it up. It goes into very graphic detail, I will say, the stuff that Teresa had put her daughters through. I can't imagine putting anyone, no less your own flesh and blood, through that. And then being so terrified as a child for the youngest, Terry, witnessing all this, and she's actually in the book, she does try to help, you know, she does give, you know, them water and, you know, tries to do some stuff. But when you're in that environment, you basically just, you know, you do the fight or flight, I guess, or you get that I will do anything to make them think I'm on their side. But the reason why, you know, Teresa was caught was because Terry had, basically contacted the TV show America's Most Wanted and Cold Case Files. So on November 15th, 1993, Nora was actually charged with these crimes. Terry had gone to the police, pretended to be her mother's friend again, basically got anything that she could on her mother via, you know, being wired and getting her to admit all these things. And, you know, this mom is still thinking, yeah, you know, she's still terrified of me, you know, look at this. And you know what? She did the right thing. So Teresa was actually sentenced to 2 counts of conspiracy of murder, 2 special circumcised charges, multiple murder and torture. And it actually led to one of her sons testifying against her. So she was convicted on October 17th, 1995, and received 2 life sentences. Unfortunately, it said that she will be eligible for parole in 2027. But let's face it, I actually think she's dead almost. I'm not quite sure, so you can't quote me on that. But there have been numerous books, movies. There was a great movie called Another American Crime called, The Afflicted, but over in the UK, it was called Another American Crime. There was several books. There was another great movie that had, God, I cannot remember her name. But if you just look up this story, you'll find so much stuff. And it's just so weird because when you go into the book, What Mother Says, they give you addresses of where they had lived in Sacramento. And it was very interesting to me because at the time, I had lived in Citrus Heights, right off of Riverside and Auburn. And their home was basically like not even a mile and a half, 2 miles. I'm always fascinated by stuff like that because not that I get some sick pleasure into hearing anything like that, but to just how horrible people, especially a mother, can be. I mean, I know, you know, there's tons of mothers that ditch their kids, but it's like just to, you know, I can't even fathom even, you know, doing that to any human being, much less my flesh and blood. So you can see how I just want to get in that mind. If I can talk to, you know, some of these psychos, I just want to be like, why did you think it was okay? Why was this normal to you? You know, and most of the time, especially for women, that do these type of killings when they, you know, kill their children, it's either because, you know, that kid is holding them back, like in the case of the what is her name? I'm so drawing a blank. I've done so much stuff today, but basically any mom that has killed her kid, it's pretty much because, you know, they're standing in the way of what they think they want, which is usually a man. Or yeah, it's just, it's very interesting. But I suggest, you know, going and looking up this, you know, one of the books, because, you know, unfortunately, you know, these 2 kids are dead, but if you can keep their memory alive, because they did not deserve this, you know, they did not ask to be born to a most vile person ever, but it's good that, you know, at least she was caught and was, you know, brought to justice. But yeah, so until next time, I'm doing some more research on some other things I can talk about. I've been writing a lot of poetry and stupid stuff like that. But we'll see you next time, folks. So have a great day and a great life. Peace out.